Some years ago, a movie called The Perfect Storm, based on a novel by the same title, told the story of a small New England fishing town and the relentless efforts of that fishing community to remain economically viable. The movie's about facing amazing challenges and about the unfairness of life. Why did they catch so many fish and we caught so few? It's about family waiting on land for news of loved ones still out at sea and not knowing because of the weather, the rough weather, whether they would see them again. It's a poignant description of human drama, of love and loss, of work and struggle, of success and challenge and joy. The movie depicts modern-day deep-sea fishing in graphic detail. We see large, elegant, graceful swordfish not caught in a net and quietly surrendering to their fate, but impaled on large and painful hooks, painfully dragged aboard ship, beaten, stabbed, and even shot by the crew in a frenzied and violent struggle. Being gentle isn't a viable option for these fishermen. They are attacked by sharks on the very deck of their own boat, hit by the boom, thrown overboard, and even caught in the worst net of all, the pain suffered at the hands of a fellow human being. The movie ends with the amazing and defiant actions of a brave captain and his crew who seek swift passage home with an abundant catch of swordfish, more than they could ask for or imagine. And instead, they confront a storm of unbelievable proportion, intent on offering their abundant harvest to the people on land and reveling in their amazing bounty. The crew instead give their lives to the majesty of the sea, never returning from their valiant journey. Fishing for a living is hard work, even cruel, both to the fish and to those who are fishing. Fishing is not a pretty story about evangelism or a miracle about feeding thousands. Fishing is about struggle and pain, fear and death, challenge and hope, success and failure, life and death, sacrifice and joy, magnificent beauty and unimaginable ugliness. Enter today's gospel lesson. Fishing in Jesus' day wasn't a whole lot different than it is today, except that they didn't have all the technology and the wonderful charts of the ocean that we have. But it was grueling, back-breaking labor to provide an income by being a fisherman. This is a great story, has great flow to it as stories go. Simon Peter and his colleagues are drying their nets after a frustrating night of fruitless fishing. Jesus appears and has Simon row him out a bit from the shore so he can address this crowd that's pressing in on him. At the end of his talk, Jesus tells Simon to let down his nets in the deep waters for a catch. And though Simon had batted zero all night long in catching fish, he does so, and I suspect he was mumbling a bit and wondering why he, a fisherman, is listening to this woodcarver who happens to be good with words. The result, of course, is a catch of fish so large that his boat and the partner's boat both begin to sink. And strangely, Simon's reaction to the catch is not joy, but fear. "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man," which in Greek really should be translated, "Get out of my neighborhood, Lord, for I am fearful of you." This rugged old fisherman who has looked death in the face many times, who has seen every ugliness that fishing has to offer the fisherman, is suddenly fearful at this evidence of the abundance-producing power of God. Simon, who will become Peter, the first person of the church, tells Jesus to get out of the neighborhood. Simon was okay with his old, secure, fixed fisherman reality that sometimes you fish all night and get nothing. But now he is faced with a new, uncontained reality that God can do anything, even make fish appear where there are none. And Simon is fearful. The water is now deep and dark, and in the light of day, it carries with it a certain odd threat. In a moment, in that moment, Simon senses the gap between his world and the new creation of Jesus. As things get unmanageable and scary, Simon suddenly sees his problem as a lack of faith, not a lack of fish. Today's epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians tells the story of Jesus crucified and raised from the dead. But let's be honest. There are times when we do better believing in the first part of the story than we do in the second. We have a better theology for Good Friday. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, with all sorts of sound sociological and physiological reasons for death and defeat. But our theology is not robust enough for Easter. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Though Jesus tells us, don't be afraid, when he promises to teach us to fish like him, it's scary. We want to say, God, get away from me. Jesus promises Easter. He promises new life in him, lots of fish. But we must have faith. We must be willing to go out into the deep water to fish, to live, to work, and to play. But when we get there, we realize how much our faith is lacking. Get out of my neighborhood, Jesus, is our natural, involuntary response. We do it in decisions about our personal lives, how we will spend our money, who we will accept as our neighbor, and how willing we are to live our baptismal covenant with our families, our coworkers, and our friends. We do it in decisions about the body of Christ, in decisions about our need for spiritual growth, our willingness to help the poor and the needy, our readiness to shoulder the burdens of others, in decisions about pledging and philanthropic gifts, and our funding of God's work through the church budget. Get out of here, Jesus. Get out of my neighborhood. Fear is paralyzing. It motivates us to maintain the status quo and to resist growing into who God is calling us to be. Fear made Paul of Tarsus, who would later become Saul of Tarsus, who would later become Paul the Apostle, made him persecute Christians. Fear and a sense of unworthiness made Paul see himself as least among the apostles. Fear is what makes us believe we are not worthy of being loved by others, by ourselves, and by God. Fear casts out reason. Fear lacks God's imagination of wonder for the future. We can certainly imagine any number of horrible things that might happen, but think about how difficult it is to visualize something entirely new and great and wonderful. Fear tells us it will keep us safe, but it doesn't tell us the whole story. It also traps us and makes us unable to experience the freedom of what Jesus offers. Yet, this is where God finds us. Just like Jesus found Simon Peter in his boat and Paul on the road to Damascus, God comes to where we are and asks us to do something that sometimes seems unthinkable, laughable, even bizarre, or just plain crazy. We could stay the same, but it would go against our baptismal covenant and against the transforming power of living a life of faith by following Jesus. With Jesus meeting us where we are, we have a wonderful opportunity to experience God's grace. We do not have to be perfect in order for God to want to be in relationship with us. We just have to be willing to drop our own baggage about fears and follow like Simon, James, and John when they brought the boats overflowing with fish to the shore. Jesus responds to Simon's fear by telling us, do not be afraid. So regardless if we're faced with a positive or a negative circumstance, we are challenged to respond faithfully, knowing that Jesus is getting into the boat with us, no matter what. No matter if we deserve it or not, no matter how great our fear or joy is, Jesus meets us where we are and gets in that boat with us. And that is why we grasp his outstretched hand, unexpected, full of grace and invitation. And we follow him, as did Simon, James, and John. Amen.